Oh, I was just thinking of all the years I've wasted collecting stamps.
Makes a whole lot more sense than collecting statues.
You may be right.
Welcome to Collector's Hangout.
I've spent my entire life doing nothing but collecting comic books. And now there's only time to say, life well spent!
No treasure in silver and gold, mate.
Hello, collectors and gawkers. Welcome to the Collector's Hangout podcast show, episode 33. The hangout on air and podcast show where I interview artisans, collectors, museum curators, as well as those selling collectibles. I've had the chance to interview guests from around the world who were kind enough to showcase their collections and share their passion as they search for that perfect piece. If you're interested in coming on the show to showcase what you have, or maybe even what you are looking to acquire, let me know. Or maybe you know of someone that would like to showcase their collection. Either way, it's easy to reach out. Simply go to collectorshangout.tv/signup and submit your ideas in the comments section. During this show, we speak with Joe Napolitani of Sedona Antiques and Jewelry and Marco Severino of Forever Sedona Trading Company. Joe and Marco have some great businesses in the Sedona area, helping both sellers of collectibles and collectors connect around beautiful, high-end, and historical pieces. From a Mayan godface to some historical Hollywood photos by Donald Biddle Keyes, we discuss it. As always, you can see all photos of featured items in the show notes at collectorshangout.tv/ASAP. Now, enjoy the show. Joe, thank you so much for again joining us. You had been one of the, the original guest that was the second show that we had done way back in 2013. So, a lot has changed, and you're now in Sedona, not in North Carolina. So, fill us in. What's going on?
Yeah, I'm out here in the West. I came out here to work with my friend who owns Sedona Antiques and Jewelry. And yeah, I remember I was one of the pioneers on your show starting a few years ago when you started. Yeah, I'm out in Sedona, Arizona. It's wonderful out here, beautiful place. What we do here is we mostly buy and sell jewelry. And we also do a lot of consignment for antiques, collectibles, jewelry, Native American jewelry, things like that. We try to stay high-end items.
Very nice. Now, before the show had started, you had mentioned that you guys have two separate stores. Does one store cater more towards antiques and jewelry than versus another? How does that work?
We probably do a little. We do a little more jewelry than Marco. Marco does a lot of Native American jewelry and collectors. I'll let him tell you what he does instead of me. But yeah, we're two separate stores, and we just work well together.
Very cool. And Marco, with the store that you manage and oversee and help to curate items to, of course. To sell, you know, tell us a little bit, actually, before we get into so much of that, like, tell me, and of course, our listeners and people viewing us, streaming live here, how you got into the whole collectibles. And I think, specializing specifically on Native American, Indian jewelry.
I got into, Native American jewelry with, my family's from New Mexico, outside of Zuni, the Navajo reservations down there. So we have a lot of close family friends now that are in that area. That's where I started to get my Native American jewelry and art from and started selling them on eBay. And that's how I got in contact with Joe and Raphael. And that's how we got these pictures and all the beautiful collectibles you can see on my site. So...
yeah. And speaking of your site, you all not only have a website for the stores, but also you and Joe both have eBay sites, correct?
Yeah. Mine is a Forever Sedona Trading Company, and you can find us on eBay. So,
Under Forever Sedona?
Yeah, Forever Sedona Trading Company.
Forever Sedona Trading Company. Okay, excellent. And I can definitely put that information in the show notes for the podcast. And of course, that will list that on collectorshangout.tv as well. So
our eBay store is on our website, and our domain name is Sedona Coins and Jewelry. So you can find our whole eBay store on there without even having to go to eBay and go searching for us.
Okay. Yeah. So you have the site basically linked to, eBay linked to your site. Okay, perfect. So Marco, did your family collect the jewelry, or did you all, is there a background of your family actually making some of the jewelry that?
No, for this, mainly collecting. We don't make any jewelry. I got into it a little bit, but we mainly collect Native American jewelry, rugs, Navajo rugs, and items like that. Any kind of art that the Native Americans made.
Okay. And how far back are you talking jewelry? Because when I think jewelry, I'm thinking that what somebody might collect, I'm thinking, you know, Renaissance period, that type of things. But I mean,
we got jewelry all the way back from pre-Columbian that we're going to be having on our sites that are on both of our sites right now. So we got some artifacts and a lot of very old pieces, pre-Columbian 250 BC.
So that's crazy. Is it oftentimes just with paint, or is it oftentimes with the actual rocks and like pearls and things like that?
Let me get a sample. Yeah, we have mainly we got every kind of artifact almost you can find. We to beads, jade beads to you're gonna show some jade beads right now. These are about 250 BC.
250 BC, okay.
Here you can see, I'll go up close to the camera here. This is a jade bead, and I don't know if you can see there, but there's actually a little face carved into that. So this would have been the main bead on the necklace down here at the bottom.
Okay, so since your audio is a little bit low, you said that there's a face that is on it.
Yeah, there's a face that is carved on the jade bead. That would be the main pendant of the necklace, would be the jade with the face on it.
That'd
be
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So oftentimes jewelry of this, being so old, most of it was hand carvings or just found stones. It wasn't obviously, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of metal work, obviously, at that point in time.
Yeah, these are all hand carved with other stones, probably back in 250 BC. Most of our artifacts will be coming with COAs to prove where they came from, the age and all that. So
okay, how does that whole process actually work for somebody to, you know, find something like this? Because if I had found something like that, you know, lying here in North Carolina, I would have thought that was just like, you know, a cool polished rock, maybe from, you know, a brook or something like that. So how do you go about through the appraisal process?
Well, nowadays we can't find nothing on the ground, of course, because that's against state laws now. They're pretty much hand-me-downs, or we buy them, purchase them off people. So,
mm-hmm.
So the ones we have right now are from an elderly lady that needed a consignment job, and we're doing the consignments for her, and that's how we got these items.
So, okay.
Yeah, some people out in New Mexico, I bought a lot of the artifacts I have on my site from the families that, you know, that they came from. They've had them in their families for generations, and that's where I get them from.
So. Yeah. So she dug these up pre-1960 is when she got those. And she's probably 90 or 90, real, right? Yeah. in her early 90s.
Yeah.
And she's been collecting her whole life. And she called us up and asked us to come out and pick this up and put on consignment for her. We've got a lot of neat items. We're just starting to go through them.
So with this specific consignment, is it mostly jewelry, or like I had seen that there's some things that we'll get to later on in the show, but with the pictures, or is there also a lot of just general antiques that she also had?
We have, as far as the artifacts go, there's vessels, there's statues, there's pots. Yeah. And she's also had some really neat Indian rugs, which I'll let Marco elaborate on here because he's the expert on the rugs. I'm not.
Yeah, we also got some Navajo chief blankets from pre-1890s. Very old, very collectible. They used to make those for trade against the U.S. soldiers. They trade them, you know, for guns or whatever back in the 1800s. Mm-hmm. So we've got some of those that we're going to be putting on the site. And some infant chief blankets also that she had hanging up in her bedroom. That is, some of these items are one of a kind, very beautiful pieces. So, and we got also a lot of Mayan artifacts that are, you guys see on the sites of toys that are old rattlers that are still usable. And they're from 250 BC also. So very old.
Rattlers for kids that you can still use. I mean, they still make sound.
Oh yeah.
We'll don't mean to interrupt, but we'll bring those on for the next show. We'll bring those out and we can check them out.
Yeah, that's really cool that you guys were able to, you know, help this woman with her estate. That's so interesting. So the bead head that you had shown me, or the face, is that already listed on the site, or is that going to be something that is going to be posted?
It's going to be posted probably by tomorrow afternoon.
Tomorrow? Okay. Did you already, I mean, since we already featured it, do you all have an idea of what you're going to be looking for at a starting bid or a reserve price?
I have one similar to that from the lady that it's a complete necklace already all put together. That's going to go for about $2,900 start price on it.
Okay. Perfect. Yeah, Joe, what we can do is we can also get pictures of anything, and I can post those up on the Collectors Hangout site and then, of course, link them over to you all as well. So, get me any pictures that you want me to put up on the site to specifically reference also, or put into post-production for the video as well.
We also have a really rare squash blossom necklace that we'll get you some pictures of. That's just incredible. I mean, we've never seen anything like it. Really nice.
Say that again. I'm sorry.
It is a squash blossom necklace that we have. It's from it has Bisbee blue turquoise in it. It is very rare. The mine was only open for a couple years, so that mine didn't produce much. And the necklace we got from the lady is posted in our site right now for $12,000. Probably one of the rarest squash blossom necklaces you've ever seen. Is beautiful, one of a kind. I mean, it's huge. It's just one of the, it is the most beautiful squash blossom I've ever seen by far.
Now, you say squash blossom. I'm not familiar with that. Is it a specific kind of stone, or is it the way it was done?
It's a Native American. Used to use these at ceremonies as like wedding gifts. They'd the bride or the groom would each get one from the families, and they're mm-hmm. all handmade. Every bead is handmade. Made the string, everything is handmade sterling silver. There's one right there. This is one that we got from New Mexico from an older family. But yeah, that's squash blossom necklace right there.
The other one we're talking about. It's just loaded with turquoise all around it. I mean, it's just incredible. Like you see here, this one's just got turquoise down here at the bottom.
Yeah.
The one we got, it's just loaded with the most rarest turquoise, the whole thing. It's incredible.
That's really cool. So, and that dates back to when?
That one would be from 1950s.
So. 1950s. Okay. Yeah, because when you had mentioned the mine was only open for so long, I was like, okay, well, if you know that the mine was open for so long, then it has to be more recent than some of the other pieces that we had seen.
Yeah. Now we're getting the Native American stuff that's much newer than the BC.
Very cool. So, Joe, when you had been on the show before, you had also mentioned that you have like tractor trailer loads of like collectibles. So is anything that you had that you, of course, has that already been gone through the store, or has any of that stuff?
I have still yet to go down to Las Vegas to even go through it yet.
Okay.
So there's still stuff sitting down there, and I'm not sure what's there, but we have to get out there and check it out and bring it back here. That's for sure.
So with the artifacts that you all have right now, obviously you had mentioned this squash blossom necklace, and of course the stone. What should we call it? The stone face, or what do you call it, Marco?
That is that'd be a Mayan, Mayan god. It's a Mayan god face on there. So
Mayan god face. Okay. So the Mayan god face, is the Mayan god face like one of the oldest pieces that you have right now, that you're selling?
Probably the rattlers are going to be the oldest ones that we have. The working rattlers, that's going to be the oldest artifacts that we have right now.
Okay. And I venture to guess that those rattlers, I mean, from the little I know of Native American culture, and that time period, oftentimes those were made from like gourds or...
These are made from pottery.
Pottery, okay.
They're pottery, yeah. They're not made from any kind of dried fruit.
Okay. So the fact that it's pottery is probably even even more rare. Especially being in a private collection, because I would think that oftentimes things like that get snatched up by curators within museums.
Or broken.
Yeah. Now they've been taken care of. A lot of them, this lady handpicked herself back in the before the 1960s, of course.
Very nice. Very nice. And what did you say that the rattlers are going to be probably starting off at?
That I do not know right now. The whole rattlers, we're still looking, because they range from $20,000 and up on some of those. So.
Per rattler?
Yeah. For the complete rattler that hasn't been glued together, it's a complete piece. And some of the toys, they go for a lot of money.
That's really awesome. Well, I can't wait to see and hear how those, not how they actually rattle, but how much you all sell them for. So definitely we'll want to have you and, of course, Joe back on as these auctions, of course, progress. Now, with antiques that you all have too, being the fact that you're in the Southwest, I'm sure that you also have things that come through that are kind of period pieces as, you know, people moved more and more out west, the growth of Hollywood. And I think this would be a kind of a good segue to talk a little bit about the pictures that you all have. So tell us a little bit about not only the pictures that you have, but things that are, 1950s, 1960s, onward that are antiques and collectibles?
Well, these are some photos from Hollywood. And what we came across is, and I'm not going to tell the client's name because she wants to stay private. But this is a private collection of Donald Biddle's keys. He was one of the first still photographers in Hollywood. And basically due to his suggestion, all the big studios now have an in-house photography department, and he was one of the first. And so this client came in and has given us his private collection, and we're just starting to price it. And we've got some items that we're going to show you today that we think are just incredible and rare. And we're not sure. Like I said, we're still pricing this out. And one of them, probably the most rare and the one that we're really proud of, is this. You can see it here.
Yeah.
This is Norman Rockwell, and he is autographed it to the photographer and signed it. So it's definitely one of a kind. And this is to Donald Keyes.
Talking about Donald Keyes also.
Yeah. This is all Donald Keyes, everything we're talking about.
Okay.
I have a note here on just some bio of Donald here, of Donald. So it's basically saying after World War One, he moved to Lasky Studios, photographing such stars as Rudolph Valentino. Unfortunately, we have that right here, where Rudolph Valentino has signed it to Donald Keyes and autographed it. And this is the original copy that he took of him.
Wow. So, and you said that Valentino had actually signed that there in the bottom right-hand corner?
Yes, correct.
Very, very nice. And so for our podcast listeners, this piece, it looks like Valentino is almost in a Matador dress, or?
Yeah. Yes.
Do you know what movie that was for, or?
Don't. Unfortunately, I do not know. I mean, Donald was part of over 75 movies, so.
Okay.
I'm still trying to figure that all out. I do have some of the movies he did were some of the big ones. Hell's Angels, Ben-Hur, The Ten Commandments, Sands of Iwo Jima. Those are just a couple. I have a whole list of his movies here.
When did he pass away? Do you have that info?
I don't know when he passed away. He retired in 1954, but I don't have his actual death date.
Okay.
But he did. He was mostly in the Paramount, which was called the famous Players Lasky Studios, and which is now Paramount. He did start. It looks like he did start over at Culver City, which is now MGM.
It's now what again?
MGM Studios.
MGM, okay.
Yeah, and we have one more that's really neat for all you Roy Rogers fans. Here's another original by Donald, an autograph to him from Roy Rogers.
So this picture, podcast listeners, is where Roy is actually on a horse that is rearing its legs, and he has his right hand raised up. It's very... very, very cool. It's a classic pose of a Western cowboy, and he's signed it. It looks like under the flanks of the horse, or the belly of the horse, excuse me. And can you actually read what the what he wrote, or his handwriting? It looks pretty flowery.
Actually, this one is to his wife. It says to Jeanette Keyes. Our best always, Roy Rogers and Tigger.
Okay. And then Tigger, I think, was the horse in that picture, yeah, correct?
The horse, yeah. Yeah. And this is just a couple of what we have. We are selling some on eBay right now, but they do not have signatures, but they are original prints from his private collection of different movies, silent movie stars.
Silent movie stars, okay. Very cool. And then where can people again find your eBay listings? How is it best to find those?
Well, for the photographs, you can find them on ForeverSedonaTradingCompany.com, or we're going to be posting more of them on
Sedona Antiques and Jewelry eBay site.
Okay. Perfect.
We'll send you links for that, and we'll get you links for that.
No, excellent. I mean, it's great to have seen these awesome and historical pieces. Not only, and I mean, they've really spanned the gamut from BC all the way up to the mid 19th century, so, or 20th century, I should say.
Yeah, I told you we'd have some special stuff for you tonight, and we'll continue as we do more shows. We've really got some neat stuff to bring on.
Well, perfect. Well, I really appreciate you joining us again, Joe. And thank you so much for joining us, Marco. Look forward to having you guys on the show again. For all of you, thanks for watching, and join us again for another Collectors Hangout when we're streaming live. You can also check us out at collectorshangout.tv. And there we'll be posting the show notes. And you can, of course, find us with the podcast over on iTunes, and when Google launches it with Google Music Podcast there as well. Thank you so much, and have a great night.
Thank you.
Thanks again for listening to this episode of Collectors Hangout. Be sure to sign up for our newsletter at collectorshangout.tv. Also, if you'd like to view the entire archive of past shows and podcasts, along with links to the areas mentioned during the show, go to collectorshangout.tv/ASAP. That stands for all shows and podcasts. If you'd like to join us while we're streaming, go to collectorshangout.tv/schedule to see when you can join us live. If you'd like to be on the show yourself or know of a collector that you think we should feature, let us know that as well in this episode's comments section. Now, please follow us on Google+, Twitter, Facebook, and of course YouTube. Please plus one, like, share, and comment to keep spreading the word if you like what we're doing here. Thanks again for listening, and remember, if it's heavy, then it's expensive, so don't touch a thing.